appreciate the opportunity to preach and minister tonight, praising God for his calling. Thankful for a church that we have where we can worship God freely. And I want to say I appreciate our youth group. I really do. They're awesome, and we're glad to be a part of their lives. And God's moving, amen. And we're seeing things happen, and we want God to just help us and minister to us. And we need God to just pour out revival, don't we? And we want that, and that's our desire for this year, and that we'll just grow closer to Him, but get on fire and stay on fire, praise the Lord, and make a difference in the world. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you found it, say amen. All right, read the first few verses here. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Now I want you to go down to verse 12 in that chapter. Verse number 12. He said, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them?" This is Jehoshaphat's prayer. "We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Amen. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you tonight on dealing with the unknown. Dealing with the unknown. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And I pray, God, that in this service you will just speak, Lord, mightily. Lord, let my words be few and yours many. Minister, God, throughout this congregation, from the front to the back. For, Lord, you have a word to say. And, God, I pray that your will be done. We love you. We praise you in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Dealing with the unknown. Dealing with the unknown. Now, I do want to preface this sermon by making this statement. What I read to you from the text is dealing with a military situation, an army coming against Jehoshaphat and his kingdom there. But I'm not just strictly speaking about when the enemy fights against us. I just want to kind of cover a broad spectrum, if I may, tonight. Because I believe there's a host of things that we are confronted with that we don't know how to deal with, or that we don't know or understand what they are. And so, do y'all ever deal with things you're not certain about, or deal with the unknown? I know I do. I deal with that all the time. And now, some of those examples could be maybe a diagnosis of cancer or something. We're not sure how to cope or deal with that, or maybe we don't know how to handle a troubled child, and how to approach a lost loved one about their soul. Or maybe you don't know what to do with your future and where to go and what the next step is. And maybe you don't know what kind of job to take, or you don't know where your financial help is going to come from. Or you're struggling with how to escape temptations and the problem you're dealing with. You can't see a way around it. You know, we deal with those kind of things all the time. Sometimes on a daily basis we are confronted with things that we're not certain and we don't really understand. And we don't hold all the answers, you know. That's important for you to understand tonight, is that we do not hold all of the answers. And I like what David said in Psalm 60, and he reiterated himself again in Psalm 108. He said, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." Okay? Lord, he's saying, I need your help because I can't help myself. And these guys can't help me either. So God, I'm looking to you. Praise the Lord. Now the problem is we tend to think that we know everything. Or at least the women think the men think they know everything. There's a husband and a wife arguing one time, and the wife said to the husband, "You think you're perfect." And he looked at her with a smile on his face and said, "No, I'm just the next thing to it." That's pretty clever, that guy. Some people, though, we carry that attitude with them all through our lives. I mean, we're like, we have all the answers. We can do it. We can handle anything that comes our way. But eventually, something happens that's going to rock our world, so to speak, and shakes things up a little bit and causes us to realize the idiocy of thinking such things, because we have, in light of God's knowledge, we have no knowledge. You know, I mean, God has all knowledge. It's above us. And so for us to think that we know everything is just crazy. And we find in the text that Jehoshaphat has been confronted with something that's shaking his world up a little bit around him and causing him to evaluate some things in his life. And that's a good thing that can happen, all right? It's a good thing that comes against us and causes us to take inventory about where we are and who we're trusting in and where our stance is in life. Now, the two verses that I read to you, the first two verses, it says, it came to pass that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazes on Tamar, which is in Gedi. So we read there that the situation that Jehoshaphat was dealing with was there was a military alliance against him of at least three countries. So, I mean, that'd be pretty bad when three countries join themselves against you and you're not really that big in yourself. And that might cause a little fear in your heart. You know what I mean? All right. Have you guys ever had three countries fight you? I don't know. We haven't. Oh, man. All right. But I think we'd be afraid. My dad told me one time, or he told a lot of people one time when he's testifying, that he thought he had a friend with him and three guys jumped him and his friends ran away. So he was confronted with three enemies at one time. So he was a little bit nervous at that point in his life. But sometimes it seems like things just come in and come against us all at once. And these people were pursuing Jehoshaphat and his kingdom, trying to destroy it with their goal in mind of tearing it apart and causing fear into the hearts and lives of those who Jehoshaphat led. And I know you've been in situations like that before, practically speaking. Now, maybe a bill was due, and at the same time a bill was due, somebody in your house had to go to the hospital, and when you were taking them to the hospital, your car broke down. So anything like that ever happened? And it seems like when it does, it's like everything all at once goes wrong, okay? It's just a matter of time before this breaks and that breaks. And I mean, you know, you're cooking breakfast for your family and your toaster breaks and your oven breaks and the eggs get dropped on the floor. And now what do? You know, I mean, it's everything's against you. And overwhelming situations often blind us from the truth. Listen, overwhelming situations often blind us from the truth. And Jehoshaphat was dealing with such a situation. And when we're blinded from the truth, we don't know what to do. Dealing with the unknown is what I want to preach to you about. Praise the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, and that caused him to fear. Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, and it caused him to fear. Jehoshaphat was probably like a lot like us. He liked to be able to grab a hold of things and be in control. And when he didn't have control, it caused him to fear. Now look at verse 12. He prayed, Lord, we don't know what to do. And then in verse 3, he also just says, Jehoshaphat feared. He set himself to seek the Lord. Now his fear is found in two areas. One, if you read in chapter 19, which we didn't look at tonight, but Jehoshaphat had just heard a prophecy of judgment on his life from God. Because Jehoshaphat had made an alliance with wicked King Ahab, and Ahab was a man given to idolatry, and he had introduced idolatry to his nation of Israel there, and he had influenced the people into worshiping idols instead of worshiping and serving God. And so his reign was very personified by idol worship. And Jehoshaphat, he knew where Ahab stood in his relationship with God, and how Ahab worshipped false gods and other gods. And now Jehoshaphat made an alliance with Ahab to go to battle against another nation. All right? Now, why did Jehoshaphat make this alliance? So he could feel more comfort and he could feel more secure because he had an ally on his side. And the thing that was wrong with this is instead of trusting in God, he did things his own way. Instead of trusting God for protection, he made an alliance with the king who would not follow God. And that was his first mistake there. And because of that mistake, God had prophesied to him through Jehu that there was going to come a day of judgment on his life. And when these three nations gathered together to fight against Jehoshaphat, he feared that this was God judging him for that action. And so fear came upon his soul. Now another area of fear that I feel probably was involved here was that Jehoshaphat feared his own limitations in this matter. He was afraid because, you know, he realized he was limited in what he could do against this great host of an army. Now, when you realize that you're limited in your abilities to handle a situation, the natural emotion that kicks in is fear. Man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. And you have to gather your thoughts, because if you don't, fear will come in and destroy you. Fear will come in and take control. The actions that follow fear, they differ from person to person. Some people are very calm in the midst of fear. They take a deep breath and they think about it. They take inventory of what's going on around them and they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. But other people go crazy. When we flew to Texas, I sat next to a girl who was scared of flying. And her idea of dealing with fear was not what I would have done. I would have just, you know, got a book out, looked at it, maybe put on some headphones, something like that. But she was like, she went nuts. I mean, we're taking off and the plane's rocking, it's getting faster, and she's white knuckles on the seat, man. She's like, do you mind if I hold this armrest? I was like, go ahead, it's okay. You know, I'm going to be right here, but just go ahead. I didn't want you to hold my arm. So she's holding that. She's like, you know, I'm literally, you can ask my wife. She was like, she almost jumped out of her seat, okay, while we're getting ready to take off. And then all through the air, turbulence, and she's all like, oh, you know, and I'm all like, crazy, you know. My wife is also afraid of flying, but she doesn't do that, okay. She just kind of, my wife, I'll be sitting there, and I'm kind of nodding off, and she's all like, and I'm all like, what? She's all like, you think we'll be okay? I'm like, yeah, then. I'm like, what? You know, I'm trying to sleep, you know. No. But she deals with it. She's like, let's pray, okay. Then we pray together, and it's okay. People deal with fear in different ways. Some people shrug it off, and they ignore it. Others heed to it, and they reason why they're afraid. And that's probably a good way to deal with fear. And I believe Jehoshaphat dealt with fear in that way. He let this fear cause him to take inventory of his life. His fear of the unknown caused him to look into his heart and say, okay, where did I go wrong? And that caused him to get back to the basics, all right? And he set his face to seek God with all that he had. And so he realized that he needed to get back to the basics. And one of the basic steps in giving your life to the Lord and understanding that you're not in control and that you need help from the one who is. All right. One of the basic steps in salvation process. You know, we tell them the ABCs of salvation. Admit you're a sinner, believe Christ died, and confess your sins. You know, that's great. But in that process, what you're doing is you're understanding that God is above you and is greater than you, and you need him in your life to help you. And so Jehoshaphat got back to that basic step as he came to the realization, hey, I'm not God, and I need God's help. Hallelujah. That song we sing, I Need You, I love that song, because it's like when we sing it, it seems like people are just crying out, Lord, I understand now. I do. I need you. There's nothing and no place, no one else that I can go to. God, I need you. I'm reading this book by Mark Batterson called The Circle Maker. And he talks about how a lot of times Christians, as they grow up, they think that God deals with them like we raise our kids. Now, I'm raising my kids to grow to become responsible adults, go to college, get a job, get married, have kids, and be able to do things on their own. That's the idea, right? I mean, that's what we hope can happen, that they can make it on their own. We'll be there to help them, obviously, but we want them to be responsible and be able to handle things and grow up and be strong adults in the kingdom of God. But Mark Batterson said sometimes we think that God wants us to grow as Christians and then that we should be able to handle things on our own because we're saved. But that's not what God wants. God doesn't want us to grow in Christ and think, man, I can handle anything that comes my way. He wants us to always be in reliance on him. That's why troubles and trials and the fiery furnace, that's why they come our way. Because it helps us stay humble and rely on him. We need to rely on him. Now, there are some things that we can handle. Now, for instance, now say a teenager needs to get better grades. If they aren't studying, they can fix that, you know, on their own. God doesn't need to help them study. They need to just study on their own. And maybe they can get better. better grades. But somebody may have a mental block with algebra or geometry or history or sociology or anything like that. And they may not be able to understand on their own. But God can help them in that area. You understand what I mean? There are some things that we can take care of, but there's a lot of things that we can't. There's a whole lot of things. Maybe it's something like, you know, we need help getting over addictions, and we need help keeping faith in the midst of the battle. And we need help when we're dealing with cancer. And we need help when people come to us with deep questions about the Lord and their walk with Christ. We need God's help in these matters. And Jehoshaphat, he realized he wasn't God, and he realized that he needed God. And his fear also resulted in something else. It resulted in a word. I want you to say this to your neighbor: desperation. It resulted in his desperation. Jehoshaphat became desperate for God's help. He was desperate for the Lord. And so he set his face to seek God. But he called the host of Judah and said, "Guys, we have got to fast. We have got to get together on this. We have got to seek God's face together. We have got to get back to what we need to do. And that is, we need to seek God's face." Y'all know the phrase, desperate times call for desperate measures. And that was a desperation time in Jehoshaphat's life. And he understood, I need God's attention and I need it right now. And he was desperate. In the middle of the fear of the unknown, he was desperate. And so he called out to the Lord. Have you ever been desperate before? I mean, I've been desperate before. I remember when I was working on a house one time, I was cutting some crown molding, and man, I was going at it. I was just cutting piece by piece, and I was having a good time. And I looked away from that miter saw, and my thumb got in the way, and I was like, "Grr." I looked at it for about 3 seconds before I realized I was bleeding all over the place. And I got desperate all of a sudden. I was like, "Oh, my word." And I was like, "Guys, take him to the hospital, man." It was bad. I mean, I sliced that thing open, chipped the bone. Is that graphic enough for you? But I was desperate, so I grabbed somebody's shirt that was just laying in the floor. I was like, "All right," I wrapped it around my hand. I don't know whose shirt it was. They never got it back. And I mean, it's just, I had to go as fast as I could to find somebody who could help me. And that's the way sometimes in the middle of fear, especially in things we're not certain about, we have got to understand that we can go to Him. Amen. And we've got to get desperate and go to Him. That's why the disciples, they went to the upper room and they were desperate for the Holy Ghost to come in. That they were desperate for a move of God in their lives. Are you desperate for Him tonight? Jehoshaphat was desperate. He proclaimed to God. He was desperate. Hallelujah. Now his fear caused him to focus. Even though he was afraid of the things of the unknown, his fear caused him to focus on the one who did know. Okay? Amen. His situation caused him to fear, but his fear caused him to focus on God. And he began to focus on Jehovah once again. Now, if you read through this chapter, we won't read it, but he begins to pray and seek God's face. And it's an awesome prayer. Verses like 5 through 12. In verse 12, he says, "Our eyes are upon thee, Lord." That's a powerful vision statement. God, we don't know what to do, but we're looking to you. When you don't know what to do, you've got to look to Jesus. You've got to look to God. Verse 6, I'm just going to go down, list some things from this prayer that he said. He calls out to God, "O Lord God of our Father." So he begins praying. And some things that we find in this prayer is he understands the place of God again. Okay? He says, "Art not thou God in heaven?" In other words, "Lord, I now understand you're still up there. You're still on the throne." He understood the place of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad he did that. And then he understands the position of God. He said, "Rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen?" And in other words, "God, I know that you are reigning. I know that you're in control. I know that you rule over these people that are coming against us." He understood the place and the position, and he understood the power of God. As he said, "In thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Isn't that an awesome prayer and proclamation that he made? "Lord, I know where you're at. You're in heaven. I know what your position is. You reign over everything. And I know you have power over all things. And that is why, Lord, I'm coming to you. That is why, God, I'm seeking your face." Man, when we get afraid of things and when the unknown things come against us and we don't understand what's going on around us, it's a good time. time for us to refocus on Him, praise God, and refocus on where He is, and remember that it's not our ways that are best, but it's His ways that are. It's not our word that is proclaimed throughout the nations that's going to be true throughout history and eternity, but it's His word that stands forever. It's not our power that overcomes this world, but it's His power that has overcome this world. Jehoshaphat got back to understanding that. And another thing he understood, he says, "Art thou our God?" He understood the present presence of God. God is with us, amen. God is with us. This refocusing allowed him to remember a few things. One of those things was the victories of the past. When you begin to refocus on God, God reminds us of things that He has done in our lives. Jehoshaphat began to mention some things. He said, "Lord, You drove out the inhabitants of this land. And God, You gave this land to the seed of Abraham. The promise that You made years and years before, You kept it, God. And Lord, you gave us this place. This is our inheritance." In other words, "God, I know You've done great things in the past. I've seen You work, amen, mighty miracles." When you don't know what to do, you got to focus on Him. And you need to remember that God has always been there in the past. Praise the Lord. A preacher, when we were in Missouri, he was preaching about the ministry. And one of the things he talked about was remembering what God had done. And he put on this old coat, man. And he just illustrated it so well. I wish I could be like that, but... In every pocket of his coat, he had a different item that somebody had handed him down through his ministry, that he had touched their lives. And he said, "You know, when I struggle, I put on this coat and I take out these things that remind me of the victories of the past, and it helps me move on, praise God." And Jehoshaphat was at a place where he needed reminded what God had done. And maybe you're there today. He began to focus not only on the victories of the past, but on the promise that God had given. And he said, "Lord, You promised that You would hear us when we cried. And You promised that You would help us when we cried out to You." Listen, guys, you got to understand that. You've got to refocus on the promise that God has given you in the places when you were in a dark place. And it shows us that His focus, it went from the problem to the solution. Amen. He no longer, you know, that army was daunting. This task was great. This looked like a mountain that was too high to climb. It looked like something that was impossible to get through. But instead of focusing on that, he began to focus on the One, amen, who had the power to get him through that. Praise the Lord. And when Jehoshaphat prayed to God, God began to move. Praise the Lord. I love it when I pray and God moves, don't you? I mean, I love knowing that when I pray to a God that is there, who hears me when I pray. He's not a God, as Paul put, He's not a dumb idol that people are drawn to. Rather, He's a God who moves. Amen. He's a God who breathes life. He's a God who gives hope. Praise the Lord. And He's a God who hears when we pray. And so Jehoshaphat prayed, and all the people of Israel prayed. And they prayed to God, and they sought the face of God. And you know what? God began to speak to them in their time of need. It wasn't long after verse 12, but a word of the Lord came through the voice of a man, and He began to speak to them, much like the Holy Ghost spoke to us. But God dealt with them. First of all, God dealt with their fear. He said, "Fear not, neither be dismayed." Amen. You know, God knows what you're going through. And when He comes in, He doesn't just speak and say, "Okay, you're dealing with this, so now I'm going to speak to you about that." No, God began to deal with you in your situation right where you are. It's amazing how God does that. Whether it's through a preacher, through a teacher, through somebody you don't even know. Maybe it's through a song you hear on the radio. God's got a way of speaking directly to our situation. And God, not only did He tell him, "Don't be afraid or be dismayed," but He said, "The battle is Mine." Praise the Lord. So God gave them a promise right there. I mean, they sought God. God, we're desperate and we need You. And God said, "Okay, here I am. Don't be afraid. I'm going to fight for you." God immediately speaks and He gives them a promise and He gives them instruction on what to do. Now we see Jehoshaphat saying, "I don't know what to do." And God says, "I know what to do. And this is what you got to do." And it's kind of weird to me. But God, you know, He says, "I'm going to fight the battle for you." But His instruction immediately tests their faith. And He says, "Go down to the battle." What? God, I'm coming to you saying, fight for me. You say you will, but now you tell me to go to the battle. I mean, he was testing their faith as they were going to have to go down to the battle. But God didn't only give them instruction, but he gave them a promise on which to stand. He said, I'm going to fight for you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Their faith would instantly be tested, but it would automatically be rewarded when they went to that battlefield. Praise God, because they obeyed the Lord. They responded to God's voice. One thing that they did in verses 18 through 19 is they worshiped Him. As soon as they heard the voice of God, they lifted their hands, they bowed to the ground. Whatever they did, I don't know. But they began to praise and they began to worship God. Why? Not because a man spoke, but because God spoke. Amen. They worshiped Him. And when we worship God, that's why when we seek God in prayer request time, oftentimes we say, let's praise Him for what He's already done. And when we do that, that's not so we can just name it and claim it. It's so we can confirm the promise within our own hearts that God has already given to us. Because when we worship Him, it's saying, God, You're higher than me. God, You're greater than me. And Your word is true. So Lord, I'm believing and stepping out in faith that You will move. And so they heard this word from the Lord. And before God had even fought the battle, they began to worship Him. And then they obeyed Him. They didn't just sit there and say, oh, let's worship Him. Okay, let's see what God does. No, they went. They got ready. They went down to the battle. They went down to the front lines where the enemy was ready to meet them. But you know what? This is exciting to me, is that they went to the battle, but not with military ideas in their heads. But they went with worship and praise on their lips and in their hearts. They didn't go down to the battle to fight, but they went to watch God spoil the enemy's plans. They didn't go to shed blood, but they went to sing a song of victory. Praise the Lord. You know why they did that? Because they knew that they could stand on the promises of God. It's awesome how all of a sudden, when you're at a place where you don't know what to do, but you're dealing with that, and you decide to deal with it by focusing on God, that all of a sudden that situation turns around, and there's light that's shed on that situation, and God begins to order your steps. And every place Jehoshaphat and his army stepped was a place of victory. Praise God. You know why? Because they turned it over to Him who was able to help them and heal them and to bless them. And God fought their battle and gave them the victory. Praise the Lord. They began to worship God and God began to move. The Bible said God set ambushments against the people there. And two nations fought against one nation. And then those two nations fought against each other until they killed everybody. I mean, it was over. They fought. They killed themselves. But God fought the battle. Praise the Lord. You know, we might look at that and say, man, that's kind of unexplainable how that happens. But God's ways, even though sometimes they're unexplainable, the results are always positive to His people. Praise the Lord. Even though we look at some things and say, God, why did You do it that way? It don't matter how God did it. He did it for Your good. Praise the Lord. And we just got to accept it that way. So Jehoshaphat, he was afraid. He focused on God. God began to move. And God's moving turned the unknown situation into a shouting ground of refreshing and revival. Praise the Lord. Listen, God turned that place that was dark and that was scary and that caused fear in their hearts to a place of shouting ground of refreshing and revival and renewal. As we read again, let me read to you verses 27 and 28. We'll find it here that they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. Praise the Lord. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Praise God. So they went to the battle. They didn't go to fight, but they went to see God's victory. Praise the Lord. And when God gave them a victory, it caused them to have joy again. It caused them to go back to their place of worship again. It caused them to get back to their homeland restored. Praise God. Because when we hand it over to God, when we cast our cares on Him, He takes care of the problem in His way. Praise the Lord. Amen. I imagine, man, that there was Jehoshaphat, and he probably had his sword on his side, but he didn't have to draw it one time. Amen. All he did is he raised his hands and he worshiped God. From the beginning of the battle to the end, all he had to do was praise Him and worship Him. Praise the Lord. You know, their riches were restocked. Their possessions were enriched and their joy was restored. Praise the Lord. Jehoshaphat's responses to the unknown caused a great revival of victory in the land. And you know what? Tonight in your situation, I don't know what it is, and I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with right now, but I do know this, that there's some things in here. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know what to do about it. But I believe tonight around this altar, you're going to be able to lift your hands and worship, and you're going to be able to jump around and shout for joy. Amen. Because God has turned an unknown situation into a place of blessing and revival. Praise the Lord. That's how you need to handle that situation tonight. Hallelujah. You don't need to cry about it on your pillow anymore if you hand it over to God. God sees those tears. I'm not saying it's bad for you to cry about your problem. I'm not at all. I cry about mine sometimes. Trust me, my wife can tell you about that. Amen. But I'm telling you, tonight you can turn it over to the Lord. And God can give you victory again. And God can give you joy again. And God can give you revival again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you young people, you need this. You need to refocus. Amen. And get a hold of God again. And get a hold of revival again. You're facing some things you're not sure how to deal with. You're facing some situations you don't know about. I mean, you're struggling with feelings that are going on inside you. And you're like, man, what do I do about this? Listen to me. Turn it over to God. And let God make something out of you. Amen. And let God turn this situation into something glorious. Stand with me tonight. Praise the Lord. Sister Madeline, come to the piano. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Do you believe He can do that with your situation? If you believe that, why don't you begin to lift your hands and just praise Him for it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We know, God, You can do it, God. We know, Lord, You can move. Come on, I'm serious. Jehoshaphat set his face to seek God. And he decided, I'm not going to try to figure it out anymore. I'm just going to go to Him. And God said, this is what's going to happen. And Jehoshaphat obeyed that command of the Lord. And he saw great things happen in his life. And where you're at right now, you don't know what to do. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. Is you can go to Him around this altar right here tonight. And you can listen to Him. And you can obey Him. And you'll find victory. And you'll find light. And you'll find strength. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe that can happen. And if you believe it in your situation, why don't you come to the front right now and just begin to pray and seek the face of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. There are others in here tonight. You need to seek God's face where you're at right now. You need some light on the situation. You need God to show you what to do. You're like Jehoshaphat. Lord, I don't know what I need to do, but I'm going to look to You, God. Hallelujah. All that wood, why don't you come around the altar? Find yourself a place to pray. Seek the face of the Lord. Hallelujah. Seek His face while He may be found. Seek Him right here where you're at. He's here to help you right now. He's here to minister to your heart right now. He's here to give you the strength to overcome right now. He's here to help you right now in your time of need. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. Lord, You're our God. You've been here. Lord, You gave us this land. Lord, You gave us these blessings. Lord, You gave us these promises. And we're going to stand on them in obedience to You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.